I stand before you at this time according to the arrangement. And if my mind is not relieved somewhat from satisfaction, I will be before you very shortly, which is all right with me. I have always desired that the time before a congregation would be short, or seem short, at least to them. And regardless of how long you would stand, if it is beneficial or if it's food for his soul, it would be short. And if it is, a few minutes would be too long. I had an impression on yesterday of a few lines of scripture that seemed to have place, or at least a weight with me, inasmuch that I know that there's a great consolation in it. And I read it, I don't know if I will ever be able to see the beauty that I know is in it or not, which is all right. But I would hope that it would not leave my mind until I would receive some satisfaction derived from its meaning. And some from some of the voice and some of the words of David in the Book of Psalms. And I may read it again this morning, Acts, insofar as the truth that's in it is concerned, I don't think we would ever be able to expound it or to go far enough to reveal what is it. I don't think we could. I think all in all it is revelation unto us as it was unto him. And it's experimental revelation to me. It's something that is a knowledge of truth. They know that it is truth. From the 84th chapter of the Book of Psalms, we find it recorded from the 8th to 10th verses of these words. And the situation in which David is speaking these things, I think, is worthwhile mentioning. He said, O Lord, God of hosts, hear my prayer. Give ear, O God of Jacob. Behold, O God, our shield, and look upon the face of thine anointed, for a day in thy courts is better than a thousand. I had rather be a doorkeeper in the house of my God than to dwell in the tents of wickedness. Continuing the next two verses, I may read. However, they are all along the same thought, along the same line, of course. For the Lord God is a sun and a shield, and the Lord will give grace and glory. No good thing will be withhold, will he withhold from them that walk uprightly. O Lord of hosts, blessed is the man that trusteth in thee. Now David, when he was speaking, making these expressions, was being debarred from the happiness of going up into Jerusalem with his people. In his own feelings, he was not worthy, and he knew this. He was exposed to a wickedness of guilt before his people. And he was seeing the path that they were going up to Jerusalem, which was their custom for years. But David was not on this trip. And he was condemned within himself. And he knew this. He knew the truth. He knew some of the blessings. I don't think that there's any portion of Scripture that describes the blessings of God in any more detail and depth than David's pen did. Which when he wrote the Psalm of all songs in the Psalms. And it expressed that he made. Here he was speaking from his own heart and his own understanding. And the first line that we read was a prayer begging God. And say, O Lord, God of hosts, hear my prayer. Hear me. Hear what I but I hear what I desire, what I, he knows in truth that it exists. And give ear, O God of Jacob. And then he says, behold, O God, our shield, and look upon the face of thine anointed. For a day in thy courts is better than a thousand. I'd rather be a doorkeeper in the house of my God than to dwell in the tents of the wicked. Now, there was a desire of goodness from this man that he made this expression as what he would desire, but it was withheld from him, as I see it. And the thing that he saw in this, I don't think that there'd be enough words in the human language or terminology in our expression that ever to overcome or to preach it on. We know as yet Jesus had not yet come into the world to do the work and to finish the work that he came to do. Was appointed. We know that Adam had already fallen in many years before this time. And it seems to me that here is a man sandwiched between the two situations I've just mentioned. That is speaking of the glory that's necessary, of the things that is necessary, and telling us what God is to us in the shield that he's talking about. And speaking also of our experiences when he made the mention that day in the courts, in his courts of God. And I would like to say that insofar as the Adam is concerned, this is where I believe that the most of the religion of this world would differ with us. Before Adam partook of the fruit in the Garden of Eden, before he ever disobeyed or broke the law of God's commandments, he was not a fit subject for heaven. He was of the earthly. And our God had so decreed and so declared that no part of this earth in its natural state would inherit heaven and immortal glory. There had to be something done for him even in that place. There had to be a change come to pass. There had to be a change made. In other words, death was appointed to all men in the commandment that he pointed to when he said, in the day that thou eatest thereof, thou shalt surely die. And without this death, there could never have been a resurrection. Without the death of Adam, there could never have been a life beyond or in the promise, dominion, might of God. This is one of the things that I believe is a deep mystery with everyone. It's a deep mystery of God, and only in the revelation can we see that the death was necessary before there could be a resurrection to what he had already promised his people. So if Jesus come, and he did, as we know, and he come and he did fulfill the work of his office to a jot and to a tittle in fulfilling the law, it had to be done in the flesh before there could be any arrest for all enemies. Someone had to fulfill the law to a jot and tittle. Someone had to satisfy justice to his fullest extent. And this is where I believe that this man is, in his experience, is pointing to some of the satisfaction that is necessary, that he in himself, in his unworthiness, in his arms of strength, was too weak to perform in the sight of God. Now he was strong in nature. He had armies at his command. He could send a man into the heat of the battle to the place that he knew he would be killed in order to get his wife. These things were at David's command as he thought or as he thought. But yet he's the same man that said that God Almighty knows the very thoughts in my mind and the words that are in my tongue before that I speak them. This David knew by experience more than we will ever know, I'm sure of this. And so when he said, behold, O God, our shield, he is describing him as being the shield or the protective device of regardless of where they stand. And the Lord, he says, O Lord of hosts, blessed is the man that trusteth in thee. So he's pointing only to the one that is blessed in the very fact that they trust in him. That he's the only one that they can trust in. And that they put all of their trust in him. And so in this shield, he says that he said, O Lord, O God, our shield, and upon the, to look upon the face of thine anointed. I mean, to me, there's description enough in prophecy that you point out, and enough proof here that God's Almighty had an anointed in his Son, already in the mind and purpose of him, which was revealed a little bit in the pen of this writer, that he wrote this description down. And only did he ask to look into the face of his anointed. This is a reflection, I believe, that we see our refuge and our deliverance and our strength is in the face of Jesus Christ. This, to me, is a reflecting device that is necessary for the eye to see and can only see when the light shines on it. And gives us that reflection and revelation. This, is to me, is the work of our God. Not only does he give him an eye to see, but also gives him enough light as to shine upon that truth. And the truth exists in him, we know. And then when the image comes, it's reflected back to us. In every case, it is God's work all the way. And so therefore, now there's a time then that they stand in the shining courts of heaven. And this is what is when this shield is needed. This is when the protection of the fiery darts of the law is necessary in order that they live. And I believe that in this life, he's talking as old Abraham did when he was talking and actually in his knowledge knew that Isaac could not exist according to nature. She could not bring forth a promised child. And he was willing to take Ishmael and use him and bring him up before God. And he did a good job of it, if you please, because he was standing a healthy man, seemingly in nature one with enough strength to carry on in what God had purposed. He thought that it was too late, but it's never too late. It's always timely because the hands of nature and the efforts of nature are taken out of the picture before the promised child is born. And so Abraham brought in Ishmael and he asked God to look upon him, saying, he said, consider my son Ishmael, that he may stand before you and live. That's what he was asking for. He was asking for the life of Ishmael. And if this be the case, if it had been that God would have presented him with the satisfaction of everything given to him and Ishmael, then the works of religion today would have stood up. But I'm going to tell you, he said, and I decide to be shall be called. In other words, he considered his life of Ishmael, yes, but only in the son of promise, in Isaac, by seed shall be called. And he said, he's also a great man. He'll make him a great nation. But all the promise had to come through Isaac, if you please, because it was a promised child, and it was a year before she ever delivered. It was possible before even conception had taken place that she was made to laugh. Yes, but she laughed while she was in the tent. She was not yet drawn out of the tent. And so therefore these tents have wickedness, and I understand it to represent it. He said the Lord loves the gates of Solomon's house more than he loves the tents. So it could be the representation of household or the covering that keeps you warm in winter, keeps you warm when it's cold. Cannot be found in the tents. The walls are too thin. I know I've been out a few cold nights in the tents, and so there is your description of difference. It takes a little insulation in the wall, if nothing more than wood. And even in Solomon's temple, we know that wood was used, and that wood had to come from the forest of Lebanon. When it was floated down there in order, and even hid covered up the precious stones, and the many of the precious walls were put into that building. Now, let's take a look now at this man. He says, behold, O God, our shield. He's not saying now that he'll be a shield on any type of condition. He says, O God, our shield. Already, he's representing him as being the shield that covered him and protected him, because he had already been in a day of court, and one of God's courts. Oh, yes. And this is the area that I'd like to touch on a little bit. And he says, look upon the face of my anointed. In other words, he had already in this court looked upon him and found him guilty before the sovereignty of our God, as the Apostle Paul had so vividly taught and spoke of many times in speaking his experience when he was on his way down to Damascus. He tell his experience in prison many times. When the jail doors were opened, he went out and told his experience again and again. How the great light shined around about him, and how he was smitten down. This is the day before with the Apostle Paul. And so therefore, something had to be done for him, and was done for him, if you please. Something had to be done for Adam from the very beginning of creation, because he made them, like us, he says, male and female, like another their image. Insofar as the image of God was concerned, in creation of man, he was after that image. But the resolving case that was to be presented in that heavenly court, ushered around the throne of God, in the promise that was made, death had to come, and it had to come according to law, and it was fulfilled and it had come according to law. And so here's where your court is to you, dear tormenting child of God, and you are experienced in your travels, and you are someday will say that a day in court is better than a thousand. Now let's take, and what does he mean by making this comparison? In one day then, when all is exposed and your relief is felt, is better than a thousand days someplace else on the outside. Or to the one person in court, it's better for him than a thousand people on the outside. I don't care which way you take it, because they're all guilty. But nothing's been done for him. Then we say that's a man that is just as guilty, that never got caught by the law and brought in and arrested and brought in the court. He is still guilty. But when the court brings him in and stands him before them and proves his guilt and has his sins upon his head, but in that sentence, let me tell you, that when he's served, then he is free from his guilt, hasn't he? But let me say this, that in the shining courts of God, because this man had been through them, he knew that in the rendering of that law, justice, was in that law, but there was something else. They were rendered it with mercy. And when mercy and redeeming pity of our God, and he says that he is your shield, he's the one who protects you, and that's the reason that he is a shield unto them. And so, in this court, when he is a mercy is rendered, then no judge can pronounce death upon you. The man can be guilty, even a first-degree murderer, but if they recommend mercy, then he cannot pronounce death upon that person. And if they don't recommend mercy, then he has no other choice than to pronounce death upon him. But death, let me tell you, that apparently was demanded by the law, and is still today demanded by the law, is a full penalty of that law to be served. Either reason that mercy is in the picture for you is because you looked upon his anointed, which was Jesus Christ, his son. He's the one who was anointed, and looking upon him, then he sees you only for what his son has done for you in delivering you out of the state of Adam innocency, or out of the state of being a lawbreaker, because you're already been brought into the day of court of God, and yes, it's better than a thousand. And so this is, he said, I'd rather be. And then there would be a desire of servitude with God, and no doubt, but whatever child of God he knew how far that where he stood. He was in the day of court of our God. It's when the sun shines. I did not even follow it by saying, for the Lord God is the sun and the shield. Yes, and the sun is daytime. Anytime the sun shines, it's daytime with you. And if the sun of righteousness shines in your heart, it's the day, it's daytime. And if it's your day at court, and you're going to visit time and again in our experiences, when we're drawn to our knees and drawn to our guilt. And when we are, I want to say this, that the only refuge we have is a sentence pronounced, but mercy recommended. And I think this was done by God. I think that the mercy that was recommended to Aaron saved him from the penalty of death. I think the mercy represented to his people is recommended to his recommended. Because he asked him first to look upon his anointed. The one that stood as the anointed of God, which was the Son of God, and kind of fulfilled, did fulfill the law to a jot and tittle. And he's the one that accomplished it for his people. And it was necessary before Adam fell, just as much as it was after Adam fell. However, the deed had to come back. And we would say, if this hadn't happened for that, that's in doctrine and the world's form, it just was that way. And we cannot change the past, we cannot change the future, as God ordained it so. It is in his hands. He even knows, as David said, the very words that you may not tell. He knows it. He knows what he's going to speak. So David was the one who was a preacher of righteousness to him. And he is one that recognized all the beauties of where his foundation was. It was in his holy mountains, and where the beauty of all his people would be found. And found, this was before Jesus came. This was in prophecy, as he understood it so. And if someone was making a choice of where to go, it would go to the level land. It wouldn't climb the higher of the mountains. However, he said his foundation is in the mountains, in his holy mountains, and that's where it will be found. But they will only be found by those that diligently seek after him. Those that have been taught by the finger of God. And you couldn't seek after anything except you had a knowledge of it. And you couldn't have a knowledge of anything except it had been shown you by sight or understanding. This is the good work that is begun in you, that God Almighty will perform until the day of Jesus Christ. So he not only began it, but he performs it. He's a full part author, he's the author and finisher of our faith. And that faith, to me, is enough that will intend to keep us, even though today there's only a few. I expected this as much because of our association being this weekend coming up, and many had told me they couldn't come on both weekends, so they planned. And their feeling is to meet with us this weekend coming up at the association. And I expect that we will have a pretty good crowd out coming up this weekend, and received our last night from Dan Valley saying five, however, coming on Sunday. So there I expect to have enough here that we will have a good meeting and enough preachers here to have some good preaching. For Elder Bird, Elder Huntington, Elder Hammond, and others as well. From the Pocatalico, Brother Howard, Elder Boulder, go forward and put the photo down. The Lord willing will have service this afternoon at the Bethel Church. And I don't look for many to be out of there either, but nevertheless, I would hope to render service under Sister Gaynor and some of her so faithful and have been over the many years from there. We're taking up. collection for the payment of the Managed Association to be printed. If any feel they want to contribute anything, pass it to Burns Land for that purpose. Let's use 511 in closing these services. A few more days on earth is planned, all my toils here shall end. And I shall see my God in prayer and praise his name.